talked about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
All right, kids, listen up. For those of you that are new to this, these are the rules. No fighting. No arguing. Okay. One. Two. Did I say three?
No.
Well, I'm saying it now. Three.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
B.I.G.
I think it's hot. It's hot. It's hot. It's tight. It's a hit, man, and I like it. I'm gonna go get it. That's a keeper right there.
I don't like that kind of talk. Now just stop it. It upsets me.
And now,
what's going on? Did you guys watch porn together again? Why do you keep doing that? It's always awkward.
Our feature presentation.
I think the ball song is my new favorite song. Is it called Balls? I'm unclear.
It's called Balls.
Balls.
That's it. That's the whole song. That's it. That's just the only. That's the only clip there is. It's just balls, 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 balls.
Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin Amin show. It is Thursday, and it's the 1st of November.
And can we nip this Movember thing that gets bigger every year in the bud?
What's Movember?
Movember is the thing where guys grow a mustache in the month of November, and everybody talks about it and sends emails and goddamn tweets.
Why did they do that?
Do you remember, Lisa? Is it some sort of a charity thing?
I think you're right.
Like it's a cancer benefit or something like that?
Yeah.
Just give the money and don't annoy us with your facial hair updates.
We
all right?
Don't need you to do that. You're right.
Movember is stupid.
Why do they even call it Mo? Is it Mo?
Mustache. Like
mustache, yeah, because it starts with an M-O, like mustache.
Movember. And that's what I got so far.
Nicely done.
It's just a thing. Was that Beer Mug's contribution?
Let me try one more.
So why are you doing this?
There you go.
Yeah, that's better. It's just a thing. I feel like it started three years ago, maybe something like that. But it's one of those things that seems to be like Steak and BJ Day that's annoying the first time,
right,
and then becomes insufferable by the 10,000th time.
Right.
So I'm just saying, stop it, people.
But we're not supposed to buy gas on Wednesdays still, right?
That is correct. Yes. All right, good. Yes, that is accurate. How was everybody's Halloween last night? Anyone have to turn away any 26-year-olds at the door?
My boyfriend.
Did Kevin not go out this year?
How dare you?
There were some older kids for sure. My boyfriend was like, all right, this is the last year for you. Next year you need to be at a party with girls.
And they're wearing like a Dodger hat. And that's their whole costume.
Well, I was listening to the conversation we were having with Psycho Mike a few minutes ago here on the show when he was talking about how he doesn't give candy to the kids that, you know, bus into to his neighborhood. If you know, you're supposed to go trick-or-treating in your own neighborhood, right? We didn't cover the other half of the problem with the opening your door to the Halloween trick-or-treaters is, you know, 40-year-olds can stand out there and shake you down. We didn't cover that, but we need to address that next year, too.
Yeah, they look scary, and you go, okay, have some candy.
Exactly.
I'd just rather not have any problems right now.
Right? Because you're afraid they're packing them. All right, before we get on to today's all-new Kevin and Bean show, here's a story. This is one of those jobs that on paper I think sounds like maybe the coolest job ever, but I have a feeling there are a lot of jobs that seem great to outsiders. Like, you know, somebody works in a, you know, making chocolate. You go, wow, you get to make chocolate. That's so awesome. Imagine doing that on day two. You know what I mean? Some things are only fun because they'd be fun to be there for a few minutes.
I could make it through day two, but go ahead. I see your
chocolate?
Point.
Sure.
I see your point.
Here's a guy whose job, he lives and works in San Francisco at a company called McCroskey. They are a handmade mattress factory. They do high-end handmade mattresses.
Okay.
His job is to jump up and down on top of the mattresses to compress the cotton in a way that machines are incapable of doing.
So the first time that's fun, and then you go, I'm tired of jumping.
Right.
All day long he jumps on mattresses?
Yes.
Why don't they get lingerie models to do that and put them in the front window, and that could be advertising.
That's a way better idea,
right.
I guess.
That's easy. He's in good shape, right? He doesn't leave work and go to the gym.
Imagine.
The jumping process isn't easy to do. Too little bouncing and the mattress doesn't fit into the machine for its final sewing. Too much jumping and the cotton becomes too compressed. Apparently, they can't do it with machines. They actually have to have humans doing it who can keep an eye on it at the same time. These are high-end mattresses. Some retail for as much as $2,700, according to the company's website, by the way. They make them virtually from scratch. But the most expensive mattress mentioned in this article, by the way, is a company in Sweden that has a mattress that retails for $60,000.
Holy cow!
Shouldn't that come with the lingerie models that you described?
It should come with a year's worth of the lingerie models.
Is that the one where you will it to your family when you die? It stays in your family forever?
I would imagine so. It's sure a hell of a lot more than, you know, most people's cars. That's
right.
For sure.
Wow.
And one more fascinating mattress fact. A survey by HGTV, I bet you didn't expect that today.
Nope.
Shows that 47% of Americans are willing to spend $1,000 or more on their beds, which I guess makes sense because it is something that you do use, you know.
8 hours a day if you're lucky.
Probably for 10 years.
Yeah.
So when you look at it that way, $1,000, although it'd be tough to part with that, I guess it does make sense to invest in some quality in that area of your life.
But 60 grand?
How much better can it be?
You know, the $60,000.
I want to lay on $1,000 and a $60,000.
$60,000 bed might be a little better than the $1,000 bed.
Right. But you could say that about the $200,000 cars that people
and
buy.
And it's true.
The difference between driving that and a $60,000 car isn't that much.
Same with all electronics. You can spend 10 times as much, and it's a little better.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. Well, if that job sounds fun to you, keep an eye on this company, McCroskey in San Francisco, because maybe Ruben Reynoso will retire one day, and you too can jump on mattresses for a living.
Mugsley.
I'm down.
You get what you jump on
He runs
mattresses?
In place. Absolutely. Why wouldn't he jump on mattresses?
Right. That's true.
Let's move him on over. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bee Show, shall we?
You know, I don't know. That's a good question. You have a lot of great questions.
Thank you. You dated an ex of one of your friends. Let's say you're a guy and your best friend has a girlfriend and you've always had your eye on her, but you don't say anything because he's dating her. He breaks up with her, then you move in.
Mm. Boom.
Now, that cool or does that break up the friendship?
Probably not cool.
I think it's only cool if you and your friend have a discussion about it and he says to you, seriously, I don't care about her and it doesn't bother me if you date her. I think that's the only condition under which it's cool.
I agree.
But if it's anything less than convincing, you just don't do it.
If you're dating her, she's part of your circle of friends.
Yeah, that's
sure.
A good point too,
the hard
Lisa.
Part.
You're making her ex see her now.
Yeah. But,
there's one other factor that we have not considered, and that's hot. How hot is
she? Oh, yeah. That's
you know
true.
What I mean?
Does that change everything for you?
Yeah. If your friend's a no, but she's a 10, you go, sorry, friend.
Yeah, that's true.
That's the way it works.
Right. He's right.
One of us is going to lose a body part. I told you that yesterday. That's going to happen today.
Oh, I hope it's Beer Mug and I hope it's his head.
It would be nice. It would be nice. We have tickets for Breakfast with Mumford & Sons, which is coming up, and you got a chance to win those tickets. And Adam Carolla will be here in studio.
Awesome.
I hate air. He's bringing us some mangria.
About time.
So that we can try it. So, alcohol. Excellent idea for this show. We will take a break. We will come back with the Ralph Showbiz Beat next.
It's Thursday morning. That's the voice of Ralph Garman. As beautiful as it is, let's have him do the Showbiz Beat instead of maybe singing.
Happy Hockey Mask Day, everyone. Happy Hockey Mask Day.
It's Hockey Mask Day?
Yeah, sure. Hmm.
What's that all about?
On this date, in 1959, Jacques Plante, the legendary goalie Jacques Plante, invented the goalie mask. Hmm. 1959. That means before 1959...
Yeah.
Goalies wore no masks.
Yeah. Puck to the face is what that means, right?
Yeah, it was just their faces were right out there.
Suicide!
Yeah, no kidding.
It's madness!
And you know how painful that can be, right, Lisa?
Thank you, Bean. Sweet as always.
Puck to the face?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What are they using it for now, Ralph?
Hockey masks? Mm-hmm. They're using them, I think, for chip bowls for chip and dip sets as they watch all the other sports. Come on, NHL, get your S together.
That's what I'm saying.
For F's sake.
I mean, they could be working hard negotiating behind the scenes, but if they are, they're certainly not telling us about it.
God damn, I miss hockey.
Me too.
So frustrating. And hockey, by the way, is not a sport that can afford to lose a lot of fans.
Yeah.
So don't be stupid. You finally got NHL, NBC Sports, previously known as... formerly known as Versus.
Right.
Now, you finally got them covering. You got a network deal. Come on now. You have one of the major media markets in the world just won the Stanley Cup. This should be a golden age for hockey, but no.
Come on!
We won't give you any money. We want more money. We don't have any money. Douchebags. All right. Before I get to the showbiz news, how would you like to play poker with me and Kevin?
Yeah!
Poker? You hardly even know her. It is the San Manuel Indian Bingo and Casino 10K Poker Play. The reason they call it the 10K Poker Play is because you sign up and there's no buy-in.
for you neophytes, that means no money has to leave your pocket for you to play poker. You get all the chips. All you need to do is win all your games. You get to the end, you're the last man standing, and they cut you a hefty check for $10,000. Somebody's going to win $10,000. That's a guarantee.
Yeah.
It might be you. Go to krock.com to play. By the way, F our website and F the people who run our website.
Why? Now what?
Because you can't find that. If you go to sign up at krock.com, it's on there, but it's buried underneath an avalanche of, Green Day trivia questions and pictures of Miss Double December from 1927.
We thought the way to go with our website is to make it much more complicated.
It's madness.
Yeah, it's a challenge for sure.
I was looking for yesterday because some guy said, I'd love to come to play, but I can't find how to click on it. I said, well, this guy's an idiot. I'm going to the front page. I'm sure there's a big banner there that you click on it. It sends you right to it. I was like, oh, that's weird. Okay, I'll go to the Kevin and Bean page. Oh, geez, that's weird. After about 20 minutes of searching, I went into the contest section, and it was about the 19th contest down. A little, one little line you had to find to click on to get to it. I was like, well, I guess they don't want people to go to this event. Stop it, bad K-Rock website people.
Our website rules.
So anyway, it takes a little work, but go to krock.com if you want to sign up and play with us. Here, the reason I bring it up is because we're giving away tickets. Kevin and I will each have a table to start the tournament off with. And if you'd like to play personally with us, we gave away some seats to Kevin's table yesterday. Today it's me. I've got a pair of tickets right now to give away to play at my table at the San Manuel Indian Bingo and Casino 10K Poker Play. Call right now, 1-800-520-1067. Call and play with me. Play poker with me, won't you? Thank you. Gene Hackman's the man. I miss him so much. I'll tell you, Gene Hackman was always one of my favorite actors. This guy, for those of you who don't know, I mean, he retired from the movie business in 2004. I can't believe it's been that
long.
Wow,
but
really?
Made two of the great cop movies of all time called The French Connection and French Connection 2. One of the rare cases where the sequel was as good, if not better, than the first film. You may know him from the Superman movies, played Lex Luthor in those movies.
Royal Tenenbaums?
Yeah, sure. I mean, the guy has a long history. He was in Unforgiven, had a great turn in Unforgiven.
He was in every movie for 20 years.
He was.
Bonnie and Clyde, The Conversation. I mean, you name it. This guy, just one of the best movie actors we had. He disappeared. He got out of the business, got retired, wasn't interested anymore. And that broke my heart because I loved seeing him in movies. Even in bad movies, he was good.
Yeah.
But he's living now in New Mexico with his wife. Apparently, they've got a little antique shop there or something. That's
really
how they spend their days.
Wow.
Sounds like a nice life. They were coming out of a restaurant after dinner. And a homeless man came up to them and started calling his wife a C-word.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Now, Gene is, I don't know, 83, 84?
Is he that old?
Yeah. Well, he's not a young man. According to police reports, he hauled off and slapped the guy right in the face.
Wow.
Knocking him to the ground.
He still got it.
He does. He's still Popeye Doyle. Then Gene himself called the cops after he did it and said, here's just what happened. I just assaulted a guy. It was self-defense. He was threatening me and my wife, and he came up to us in a very threatening manner, started abusing my wife, so I slapped him down. Have somebody come over here. Let's talk it out. So he did the right thing. The cop showed up and decided he was acting in self-defense, so no charges will be pressed. There's Gene now. Wow.
Yeah. Sounds like more than a slap,
well,
all right.
You know. Reportedly, the homeless man then slapped Hackman back for Welcome to Mooseport. He had seen that film and was very angry about it. So everyone got their just desserts.
He might still be acting today if it hadn't been for that Mooseport movie.
Oh, not my fault. I thought it'd be good.
Armie Hammer and Johnny Depp apparently have forged a serious friendship while making The Lone Ranger together. Armie is the masked man and Johnny, his faithful Indian companion, Tonto. Armie Hammer told an interview this week, maybe overshared. He said they would stay up and chat till dawn, that he would braid Johnny's hair
all right,
as they talked late at night.
Jeez.
What the hell was going on in the trailer there?
Easy.
He said getting to know Johnny was a magical experience.
Sounds like love, Ralph.
Sounds like something moist. something you need a moist toilet to clean up afterwards.
Have you guys seen the trailer for that movie?
Yes.
You almost don't recognize Johnny Depp.
Yeah. He is one of the, it's another time where he's just immersed himself in the role. Look, I think the trailer looks great. However, I am perpetually irked by the giant crow that is sitting on top of Johnny Depp's head.
Yeah, that is weird.
It is distracting to me. even as I watch. I'm like, I hope that he doesn't, I hope he doesn't wear that the whole movie, because the whole movie I'm going, hey, that guy's got a bird on his head. We'll have to wait and see. Today's celebrity birthdays. Hustler publisher Larry Flint is 70 years old today. Our buddy Larry. How does Larry Flint celebrate a birthday, do you think? Wow. What kind of debauchery and decadence can he immerse himself in?
That's a good question.
On the day of his birth, Lyle Lovett is 55 years old. Anthony Kiedis of Red Hot Chili Peppers turns 50. Actress Toni Collette. Of course, I guess she got her big break in Muriel's Wedding, is that when people start to know her, and Sixth Sense. United States of Tara, the series that she had on air recently. 40 years old today. Jenny McCarthy, former playmate and girl who makes faces. She is 40 years old also today. And actor Penn Badgley from Gossip Girl. Gossip Girl saying goodbye, everyone. In December, we get our finale for Gossip Girl.
How's Dave going to do? Is he going to be all right?
He's inconsolable over there.
Yeah, he's just sobbing.
He's just hoping the Carrie Diaries are good enough to transfer his love over there and be a 14-year-old girl watching that show. Penn Badgley's 26 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
You guys watch any of that continuing news coverage of the aftermath of Hurricane Sandy in New York last night?
I did not know.
Oh, my God. I know you hate the news, Kevin, because you might learn something. But this is horrible. Yeah. I mean, this storm is unbelievable. And, of course, the repercussions are going to be a long time after this storm. One of them is tonight. Tonight was the New Jersey Nets home debut at their brand new Barclays Center, that gorgeous new building that cost $1 billion. The Nets, the NBA franchise, moved to New Jersey. They're supposed to play the Knicks tonight. That game's been called off, been postponed. Now, Brooklyn's okay, but all the subway lines going to the Barclays Center, which is part of the big draw of this place, are underwater. So the subways aren't running.
Wow.
So they're canceling the game, postponing it. So now their opener in the new room is going to be against Toronto on Saturday, which doesn't really have the same pizzazz that playing the Knicks does across the river, right? But a lot of people are really into the Nets this year. You know, it's got the celebrity association with Jay-Z being behind it, and that crazy Russian guy, I guess, that everybody's in love with, too.
Crazy Russian guy, Mikhail Prokhorov, I believe is how you say his name.
Okay.
Who, by the way, is talking about running to be the president of Russia.
Yeah, this guy has boundless ambition. I saw his piece on 60 Minutes not too long ago, and he is just a fascinating guy. He's got more money and he knows what to do with. And like you and me, he goes, yeah, I think I'll buy a sports team. Why not?
So he's a majority owner of the Nets. And he did an interview where he's talking about his expectations, and it's a pretty bizarre interview. He was talking about how he wants to win a championship by 2015. That's his goal.
Okay.
That's moving pretty fast.
That's a tough goal
when you're building a team.
Yeah.
When you're taking over the Nets, who have not been good in recent years.
Yeah.
He says, quote, if the Nets don't win a championship by 2015, I will punish myself by getting married.
Yeah.
That's his quote. If things are that bad, I'm going to make it worse, and I will punish myself by taking a wife, who I'm sure is going to be thrilled to be his punishment.
Yeah.
That's so bizarre.
That's weird, right?
Mikhail Prokhorov joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Maybe we can find out more about this bizarre proclamation. Mr. Prokhorov, good morning.
Yo, what is happening, my nizzles?
Been hanging out with Jay-Z, have you?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'm in business with Jay-Z, so it's all for everything happening now. Good. Hey.
And hey to you as well. Well, first of all, congratulations on the New Jersey Nets. A lot of people are excited to see you play ball, but how sad is it that you can't play tonight, like planned?
It's a horrible thing for everyone involved with the Brooklyn Nets. We're heartsick that Americans are so weak they can't come out in weather.
Well, I mean, I think they could have. It just wasn't safe, and some of the...
You Americans are pussies! Well, in Moscow, a storm like this comes, we go, pooh! Yeah, we go out to Red Square, we drink vodka, we take away civil rights. It's a good time!
Well, I mean, there are hundreds and hundreds of people who are homeless. I mean, there's a lot of other things going on in the New York area.
Oh, no, let me get you a Kleenex for your tears of pussiness.
Okay, that's not going to be the way to get the people of New Jersey to fall in love with you.
You are so rich.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about your plans and your backup plan in particular if you don't win that championship for the Nets by 2015.
Yes, it is for true what you said.
You will get married as a punishment.
I will punish myself by getting married if we're not winning a championship.
Now, a lot of people in America consider getting married a happy time in your life, not exactly. Not exactly punishment.
Oh, well, they are not incredibly rich people in Russia who get the choice of every Russian supermodel they could possibly want.
Sure.
Like me.
I guess there's that, yeah.
If I want to really punish myself, I will force myself to talk to a woman.
Wow.
By marrying her.
You're a prize.
Because I have all the hoss, you know what I'm saying?
You what?
I have all the hoss I want.
You have all the hose.
How is it?
Hose.
Oh, it says H-O-S.
Yeah.
I don't know how to say that word.
Yeah, it's a plural,
not
a
possessive. I must be an idiot to not be able to read that.
So you basically, you're banging all the single chicks in the world right now.
That's right. You know, the Brooklyn Nets have the dance team.
Right. Yeah, the cheerleaders, very attractive, yes.
They're called the Netettes or the whores. I don't know what they call
I don't think it's the whores. But
I get all of them.
Okay.
Is that part of the deal? Or?
Yes, of course. I'm 80% the owner of team.
Wow.
So every night, cavity search.
Oh.
No. Come on, line up.
Come on.
Ready to look for a contraband. Or contraband, as I call it.
Oh, wow.
Coochie.
This is not the guy you want running a team. Come on.
So rich.
You are rich.
Very, so very much wealthy. Money from white slavery trade and pharmaceutical grade street drugs.
That's not something you want to brag about in America.
Why not? I'm so rich.
All right. You're
very
rich.
Outspoken, isn't he?
I came to your country and bought one of your teams.
You did, yeah.
Ah!
How are you going to decide who the poor unlucky woman is you'll marry if, in fact, you don't get a championship the next two seasons?
Well, I will likely do like NBA. I'll do lottery.
A lottery. Okay.
I see. Okay.
I will take ping pong balls.
Mm-hmm.
And I will put them inside a...
Nope.
Easy.
What? What are you afraid of?
A lot. We're out of time.
You've seen it, the trade for NBA when they put ping pong balls in the...
In that spinner thing. It's like
what do you say? How do you say in English? Vagina.
No.
Okay, that's what I was afraid of. Thanks a lot for tuning in here on a Thursday morning. We got more tickets for you to join us for our exclusive VIP breakfast with Mumford & Sons. And also you get the chance to see the band at the Hollywood Bowl. Plus, Adam Carolla will be here later on today. Right now, though, how about the Kevin and Bean Afro Line on the air for you at 323-520-AFRO. This is really your contribution to the show. You call us 24/7, leave a voicemail. We play it back. We've had a, it's cold and flu season, right, Kevin?
Sure.
We've had a little bit of a bad patch of luck here with a bunch of the guests that we've had lately. We talked to Taylor Swift, and she was real sick. She had to throw up while she was on the phone. Justin Bieber, Darth Vader, your mom. I mean, it's been a terrible trend, and we're getting a lot of response on the Afro line about that.
Please do nothing besides throw up on the radio. Oh, my God, it's so funny. And also, of course, fire music.
That brings us into Afro call number two for today. Beer Mug, far and away, gets the most response when you call in.
Beer Mug. Listen,
Beer
Mug. Shut the f*** up. Yeah. Crazy Afro lady. Yes, go ahead.
We've been saying that every day. It doesn't help.
No, it sure doesn't. Crazy Afro lady, as you know, is a frequent caller on the Afro line. We love her so much. Here's a listener, guys, who has a theory as to what's going on with her.
Oh.
Crazy Afro lady is really... Rodney Bingenheimer's bastard child.
Oh.
Never thought of it.
Let's go to the tape and see if that's possible.
Love is what all. Big bangs, black holes, and meteorites.
Well, sounds like it could be. Sounds true. Like they're cut from the same cloth, doesn't it?
That's true.
Omar also gets a lot of love on the Afro line.
What the hell? Omar, stop it with the oh yeah. Who do you think you are? The Kool-Aid guy? You don't even like fat people.
I don't know.
I've never heard the sentence, who do you think you are, the Kool-Aid guy, before in my life. One day, Omar, this is really funny. One day, Omar came with a giant smile on his face, and he said, I'm going to start putting, oh, yeah, in everything. And he started laughing like we would all just fall on the ground. And we were like, why? Because it's funny. We're like, oh, go for it, whatever you want to do.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on in that boy's head. I really don't. Kevin likes to make fun of me because when I was a teenager, I maybe have seen the Star Wars movies a few too many times in the theaters.
100 times in the theater.
That's like 98 times too many, right?
Yeah. Here's one caller with a comment on that.
Being used to Star Wars in theaters over 100 times? That's so awesome.
Back to the vomit.
So I'm about a week behind, and I'm trying to catch up on the podcast, and I start to hear the bit you guys do about the peanut butter recall, and then it hits me what you're going to do. And like a slow-mo action movie, I try to shut off my radio. No. And then the vomit started.
Yeah.
I hate you guys.
It's not us. We're not vomiting.
I love Eddie's story that includes this sentence. And then the vomit started. Kevin has really been taking it on the chin lately. He gets blamed for a lot of stuff. Of course, he did. He killed Halloween Spooks. I mean, that was all Kevin.
Yes. Listeners, the listeners. Did I vote? I don't remember voting on that.
He ruined Halloween for all the little children. And he also did something else that I don't think Kevin has really taken enough heat for. But this caller nails him on it.
Kevin killed hockey. Thanks a lot, Kevin.
I did not kill hockey.
You killed hockey?
I didn't
nice
kill
job. Hockey. Nice Jeez. Job, Kevin. This guy must be an Omar fan, too.
Old MacDonald had a farm. E-I-E-I-O. Yeah.
Nicely done.
Not every Afro call works out on the phone the way you hope it will in your head when you pick up the phone to dial.
You know how I know you're... Oh, God damn it. Never mind, I'll call back.
We appreciate that. We did hear from our girlfriend, the crazy lady.
Michael Jackson's sister, Janet Jackson, hates Jews.
Okay, that's good information.
That's not true.
Here's somebody who thinks she might be the new crazy Afro lady.
So if I want to get on the show, all I have to do is talk incoherently enough time that Kevin and Bean have enough clips to put together to fill a segment, just like Crazy Afro Line Lady, because you have no other ideas. Good to know.
That's true.
Exactly. Yes, done.
That is true.
Two more on the Afro Line here on the Kevin and Bean Show for a Thursday. We've been talking a lot about spoiler alerts. There's so much great stuff on TV. How do you know when it's okay to talk about it? What's the appropriate warning for folks who haven't seen it yet? This guy has some thoughts.
No, seriously. It's not that hard to say, spoiler alert, we're about to say something very important about a thing that you might be reading about. God, no!
Now,
Did we spoil something?
I've been getting a lot of hate on the email, and I need a ruling from you guys about this. Remember when we had Mr. Kirkman in, Robert Kirkman from The Walking Dead last week?
We spoiler alerted them to death.
I made a reference to something that happened in The Walking Dead comic book number 100, which, by the way, came out back at Comic-Con time, which was how long ago? A couple of months, at least.
Yeah.
I made a reference to something that happened in the comic book. Not everybody had read the comic book yet.
Sorry, dude, that's on you.
Had nothing to do with the TV show. Those storylines are loosely based on the comic book, but they go off in different directions at all. I've taken so much crap from people for making that comment about the comic book. 2 months later, right?
You should be taking a lot of crap, but not for that.
And finally, and maybe this guy's on to something here, we love the Afro Line. We've been doing it for years here on the Kevin and Bean Show. The Afro Line does not have its own theme song, and I think maybe this guy is suggesting he's got one for us.
Kevin and Bean, Afro Line. Afro Line. Da 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 da. Afro Line. Da 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 da. I gotta stop smoking weed.
Yeah, you do. I don't think that's going to be our theme song for the Afro Live. But if you have one or any comment on anything you hear on the show, anything you want to comment on or anything we should be talking about but we're not, you can call us 24 hours a day, 323-520-AFRO.
You are listening to the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. And this
where
is,
were you?
To Kevin and
Why Mitchell. Can't you be in here when we start? Why? Where were you?
He made it back in time.
Where I made it back.
The mics were actually going live when you walked in. What the hell was going on?
Gallagher. All right, let's talk about country music, shall we?
No. Country music blows.
Let's get the kids away from the radio because Ralph cannot be held accountable for the words that come out of his mouth when he starts talking about Toby Keith, who's your Osama bin Laden, Toby Keith, Ralph?
He is just my arch nemesis on so many levels. Here's the thing, I say I hate country music. Largely, that's true. But I'm starting to realize as I watch the show Nashville and as I listen to other artists that I listened to years ago but really haven't revisited, it turns out I hate bad music.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so much of country music is bad music.
Probably a higher percentage than most.
That's what I'm saying.
Genres.
And that's why I tend to hate country music because it's just infiltrated with boneheads and a-holes and douchebags. And the whole mentality of, ooh, books bad, beer good, and that whole,
that's how I live my life, man.
We revel in our sort of stupidity, and we got trucks and guns, and I'm banging my sister, and it's okay, and Obama's a socialist, and all that crap just makes my brain melt.
Bean, give us a quick background on Toby Keith. Is he one of the biggest?
His biggest days are past, but he's probably had 20 top five songs on the country charts over the years.
Okay.
He's been popular for a real, real long time. I think we talked about him quite a bit for Red Solo Cup, which was what, about last year's, huh? But his thing, he loves songs about drinking. That's his thing. Beer for My Horses was super popular. That's one that even kind of crossed over a little bit. You saw that one a lot on NFL games and stuff. I Love This Bar was another one that was a huge number one hit for him. The guy just loves, I think he's an alcoholic. I think is what's going on
here. Probably. Sure sounds like it.
He knows his audience.
He personifies everything I hate about country music, and that's the reason he's so popular, is because all these S-kickers who just work all day long just to have enough money to go into the bar and just blow it all night on their honky-tonk jukebox, and
right.
they go out and buy a bale of hay and put it in back of the Ford F-50. F them.
But what you do is you come up with a song, and you go, okay, that one's about beer. Now I'm going to do an album, so what other topics can I...
Well, Kevin, I'm glad you brought that up, because Toby Keith's new album came out this week. It's called Hope on the Rocks. It's got 14 tracks on it.
Okay.
11 of them are about getting loaded. 11 of them.
By the way, the
title track.
Yes.
Hope on the Rocks, which is written from the perspective of a bartender. Toby Keith plays it. It's a song. It's a story song.
Right.
And okay. Toby plays a bartender who says in the refrain, at the end of the day, I'm all they got. So that's his mentality. Really, at the end of the day, all we have is just alcohol.
Just beer.
Just get loaded and go home and kick your dog and get your shotgun and chase down some black folk. That's what he's saying, basically.
I don't think he's saying
that. That's what he's saying.
He's not saying that.
That's what he's saying. These drunken, racist fender heads.
The unreleased last verse, Kevin, is about chasing down black people.
I didn't realize.
By the way, this album, I just looked it up for you, Ralph, is number 13 on the iTunes album chart.
Of course
right
it
now.
Is.
So
of
it's
course
doing,
it
doing
is.
Pretty well.
Let's burn through the 11 tracks that deal with alcoholism, shall we?
All right.
That celebrate alcoholism. Listen, nobody likes to get a good load on better than me. Nobody likes a good drink more than I do. However, there are other things in my life as well.
Oops, sorry. You want to hear the first one yet?
Here's Hope on the Rocks, the title track.
They come here to drown in the sorrow.
Wow.
Yeah, that's him as the bartender. He's talking about how everyone just comes to his bar because that's all they got.
That sounds
that's
like
all
the
they
song,
got is alcohol.
That sounds like the song you listen to before you commit suicide.
All they got is alcohol. What if there are any other options? Oh, how about education?
No.
How about that? How about kicking the crap off your boots for a change, putting on a suit and go getting a job?
Don't be ridiculous.
How about track number two, the size I wear?
In a neighborhood bar, not too far from there. Me and old John, we were chugging some beer.
Of course you were.
Yeah,
of course
really?
You were, Toby. And then he goes on to the size that I wear, by the way, talks about the kind of women he likes to have sex with.
Okay.
It's the size that I wear. He talks about the size of women and what size he likes to have sex with.
I'm guessing big because he likes beer and he likes them to drink beer.
There's a track on the album, Kevin. Funny you should say. We'll get to it in a moment. All called right. I Like Girls That Drink Beer. The track number three is Scat Cat.
Scat Cat.
Daddy makes whiskey.
Yeah. Daddy makes his own whiskey. There's not enough whiskey in the world that they make by legitimate sources. Now they have to start making their own because they've drank all the whiskey there is.
And it does kind of, although I'm impressed with your maturity about country music and you're a little more open-minded than you once were, Ralph, it rings false to have a guy like Toby Keith who's probably worth $4 million singing all these songs about how he's the common man making the moonshine in his basement, right?
That always does kind of irk me is the fact that they just play up that image when they're all flying around in private jets drinking champagne.
Yeah, he is not driving a 92 Ford F-150 either, by the way.
Here's the song I was talking about. I Like Girls That Drink Beer.
I like girls that drink beer.
All right. Yeah, of course you do. Here's track number five called Get Got.
Whiskey with decision.
Yeah.
Well, your whiskey with decision.
Haven't had a drink all day. It's track number six.
I got stoned this morning, but I haven't had a drink all day.
Yeah! Now we're getting
getting stoned in the morning, too, before work. I hope you work with heavy equipment, you douchebag. He has a front loader just lands on your partner, and when you're picking up the two halves of his body and rushing to the emergency room, they ask you what kind of whiskey you're making in your basement.
He hasn't had a drink all day. It doesn't mean he's not going to.
Oh, no. As soon as he gets off the shift, he's going to get loaded. But good thing he was got stoned this morning before he went to work.
We're going through the new Toby Keith album, for those of you that just tuned in.
Of course we are. Why wouldn't we be?
All about beer.
You know where Kobe's from?
Where?
Cold beer country.
Oh, yeah? I need a cold Budweiser on a bar stool and a jukebox by the deer. Singing cold beer country, cause it's cold beer country round. Oh, that is the quintessential song that I hate from country music. If one song could
you
really
could put everything I hate into 1 3-minute musical number, it would be I'm playing cold beer country because it's cold beer country around here. That didn't make any sense. What the F is cold beer country music? Kill yourself.
No idea.
Beer in Los Angeles is cold, too.
That's right. This is cold beer country, too. This isn't warm beer country. This isn't England. Missed You Just Right is number 8. I missed you on your weekend whiskey, getting crazy at the bar. Yeah, I missed you on your weekend whiskey, getting crazy at the bar. That's what he misses about his girlfriend. The fact that he used to get drunk together.
Not sex, just drinking.
Oh, how many beers ago were you dating her?
What? That was 1,452 beers ago. Now he's counting.
Now he's counting me beers he's drinking.
Good.
I wonder if his girlfriend was the whiskey girl. Track number 10.
Dance, whiskey girl, stand.
Yeah.
Was that a live show?
That was a live track.
Because they love that one.
Whiskey girl.
When he went to that one, they loved it.
That was previously a big hit for him. Hey, does Dr. Drew have a team with lassos that we can go out and drag Toby Keith into celebrity rehab?
On horses.
If you buy the album, of course, you will get the bonus of the Red Solo Cup remix.
Oh, woo! This is the song that started all the hate for him.
That's right.
Red Solo Cup.
Oh, let's drink out of plastic cup. If you drink out of glass, you got no testicles. F yourself to death.
This is a dance remix? Do they do dance remix on country songs?
All the discotheques are playing the new Red Solo Cup remix.
I can already tell you this is terrible. Stupid beat.
Now, Red Solo Cup is the best receptacle for barbecues, tailgates, fairs, and festivals. And you, sir, do not have a pair of testicles if you prefer drinking from glass. Hey, Red Solo Cup is cheap and disposable.
This is pretty much the
worst remix ever.
It's the same song with a stupid little Casio beat.
They play the song and they got Biz Markie to come in and go...
14 years, they are decomposable, and unlike my home, they are not foreclosable. Freddie Mac kissed my ass.
By the way, just before we get to the chorus, Bean, this song went how high on the charts?
Oh, this was number one all the way.
Number one.
And don't you remember back at the time, Ralph, wasn't this something like a top five or something? Pop, too. This was
it was
an enormous hit.
Crossover. Let's solo cup. I fill you up.
Let's have a party. Let's have a party. Is this the only number one song that was written to a cup?
I believe it is. I love you, Red Solo Cup.
I lift you up. Proceed to party. This is the worst remix ever. Proceed to
party. Oh, you can dance to this. Now I really love how you're easy to stack. Literally, they did nothing but add a really cheap beat.
It's a Casio. It's a Casio beat. Well, that, my friends, is quite
yucky. Use the word yucky.
God, stop.
Use the word yucky, Ralph.
For God's sakes, please stop.
Why are you so highfalutin and fancy drinking out of glasses, Ralph? What's your damage, man?
I'm telling you something. Every time I trash Toby Keith, I will get an email from somebody, probably from the Inland Empire, who will remind me, Toby Keith could kick your ass. To which I would say, he could beat me up every day, all week long, and it wouldn't stop him from sucking ass.
So you like it?
Yeah, I bought a copy.
And did I mention psriviera.com for great room rates and for great packages? I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Great packages.
Speaking of packages. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And by packages, I mean
penis.
I think that was clear.
Oh, really?
Wow. That's pretty clear.
No, I didn't get it. So that. Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Relative. Hey, Ralph, Kevin B. Lister, Jeff writes in, according to CelebrityNetWorth.com, Toby Keith is worth $80 million.
Fuck, doesn't surprise me.
$80 million. Dollars. So there, he's making enough money he can stop, right?
There's a tremendous army of truck driving, gun rack owning douchebags out there who I'm sure buy his material.
But did you think that many?
Look, it doesn't make him good.
No, of course not.
There's a lot of people who make a lot of money who are no goddamn good.
Okay. 6:52, it's Thursday on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph joins us now for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
My previous statement leads me to another. Charlie Sheen and his sitcom Anger Management, as per his contract, it's official. FX has ordered another 90 episodes of his sitcom.
Only 90?
That was his deal. If it does well in the ratings at a certain number, they were obligated to renew him for a 90-episode deal, and they have done that. That means he will be busy for the next couple of years and will automatically go into syndication with his sitcom Anger Management.
Anyone watching that? You guys see
I have
him?
Never seen one nope. episode of
I have
of Anger
no
Management.
Interest in him whatsoever.
But it's wildly successful and it's going to make him a very, very rich man.
He's already a very rich man.
Now he's going to be even richer. So there you go. He is the Toby Keith of comedy.
I was asked not to talk about that, but it rhymes with yes.
See? That's why it's that kind of comedy that you can get on Anger Management.
How does he do it?
Yeah. I don't know if you were a fan of the USA Network show Common Law, if you like that show or not.
I don't think I ever saw that.
It's on after Emily Owens, MD, right?
Stop it!
Oh, it's a real thing?
That show has been canceled.
Oh.
I think the writing was on the wall when its star, Warren Cull, picked up a recurring role on Fox's new show, The Following, with Kevin Bacon. That's how you know one show's going away, when the star goes over to another show. So that was pretty much over. Speaking of which, making me very nervous, Sarah Shahi just announced that she's picked up a recurring role on NBC's Chicago Fire. What does that mean for Fairly Legal? What happens to my Fairly Legal then?
Oh.
Maybe she has time.
I'm going to have to tweet her and see what's going on.
Yeah.
Because I'm concerned. I'm going to miss Kate Reed if that's the case. We were mentioning earlier today, Gossip Girl. Series finale.
Oh, I love it.
2-hour series finale. It's all over for Gossip Girl. Monday, December the 17th. CW announced the finale date for Gossip Girl. Dave is inconsolable. He's over there just weeping.
Gossip Girl is my favorite.
Weeping into his camisole.
He has a camisole.
Yeah, I don't know why he's wearing a camisole, but he is. Tyler Perry's announced another Madea film, in
all
case
right.
you were concerned.
Woo!
It's funny how quickly he is running away from that Alex Cross thing, just going back to the fat suit, just going back to being a woman again. What works best for him. It's a Christmas movie this time, Madea's Christmas. It's set to open on December the 13th, 2013, so...
So a year
over
from,
a year from now, right. you will be able to see Madea celebrate Christmas.
I'll mark my calendar.
So you got that going for you. And, you know, I love the collectibles.
Yeah, too much.
This is a cool one. Christie's in London is putting up for auction on November the 29th. The bass guitar that Chris Novoselic smashed in Nirvana's music video for Smells Like Teen Spirit. Remember that scene where Chris destroys that bass?
So now they're auctioning it off now?
Well, here's the thing. There was an extra on the set of the video who picked up all the pieces and kept them all these years.
Oh, that's funny.
Had them in his home, and now he has decided it's time to part with them. They're going up on the auction block at Christie's in London on November the 29th.
Wow.
What's left of that base is expected to sell for at least $40,000.
Wow.
That's a kind of a nice piece of Nirvana memorabilia.
It was like a cheap pawn shop 60s bass that they bought for the video.
It was a fake because they knew they were going to destroy it.
They knew they were going to destroy it. Yeah. So it was a low rent
bass
that you wouldn't get $50 for in a pawn shop. And now it's going to sell for at least $40,000.
This is the one that he threw up in the air, right? Came down and hit him in the head.
Yeah, right, right.
And then he smashed it.
And then he smashed it, yeah. So if you're a rich Nirvana fan,
Toby Keith could buy it.
He could and probably would. Join me Saturday night, won't you, with my partner Kevin Smith. We're doing our Hollywood Babylon show at the John Lovitz Comedy Club and Podcast Theater up at Universal City Walk. We do it almost every Saturday night up there, 8 p.m. on Saturday. We're doing the show. We'd love to have you come out. You can go to thelovitz.com for more details and for tickets. But it's going to be a good show this Saturday, I promise, because, you know, Kevin Smith is a nerd second only to myself. And he's got some very funny takes on this whole Disney, Lucas, Star Wars thing.
Star Wars, sure.
Yeah, we got some funny material. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. people celebrating November 1st as the day they were born. Larry Flint, Hustler publisher, is 70 years old today. Lyle Lovett celebrates his 55th birthday. Now, there's a guy, country music. I guess you would call him country, right?
Yeah.
I think.
There's songs of his that I enjoy enormously.
Yeah.
Super talented guy.
Any about beer?
None about Whiskey Girl or or how many beers ago did I like girls who drink beer. None of that. Anthony Kiedis of Red Hot Chili Peppers is 50 years old today. Toni Collette from the United States of Tara. She is 40 years old. Little Miss Sunshine, of course. Great actress. Jenny McCarthy. Not so much a great actress, but great cans.
Mm-hmm.
She's 40 years old. And Penn Badgley, while we're talking about Gossip Girl, he is 26 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Adam Carolla joins us in studio 1 hour from right now. Should be a lot of fun. Always is when the Ace Man stops by, but particularly today because he's bringing alcohol. He's bringing us Mangria today. So we will all be pretty faded by the end of the show.
Who's got less use for that than you?
That's coming up. Also, your tickets for Breakfast with Mumford & Sons in about a half an hour or so right here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Can I start? Would you mind if I started?
No, of course.
Okay. We're having a meeting, I don't know, a month, 2 months ago.
Yeah.
After the show, and Bean tells us something, and it's so crazy and out of it, what anyone thought about Bean, that I started laughing. And the more I laugh, the more I realize I shouldn't be laughing because Bean's serious. But I couldn't stop because it's so hard to get your head around the fact that Bean's not an asshole.
Wait a minute. Hold
okay.
On. How shocking could that revolution be?
Very. Jay Moore just tweeted, I've never been speechless in my life. Wow.
Yeah.
Bean, tell him why.
Well, you're very kind, and now the pressure's on with a setup like that. But what I told you in the office that day, and it's something I hadn't been able to mention for weeks leading up to because it had not been officially confirmed, is that I have decided to help a friend out by donating a kidney. And the friend is somebody who many longtime K-Rock listeners know about because he's been working for the radio station for a long time. And we've made fun of him for years because he has the worst hair in show business. Scott Mason joins us in the studio here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Scott. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, man.
Hey there.
Is friend a little strong, Bean?
No, Scott and I are absolutely friends.
All right, just checking.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. We wanted Scott to come in today because this is the first time that we're talking about it. And the reason we're talking about it is that not only is it's happening soon. In fact, November the 13th is the day that Scott and I will both be wheeled into hospital rooms next to each other. And then we'll be taken out to surgery. And then I give a kidney and it goes into him.
I've really never talked about this on the radio all these years that I've had issues.
Well, that was part of it is that I told Bean later after apologizing for being such a dick. I didn't realize because Scott never talks about it. So I had no idea that he actually was on a waiting list for how long?
A long time.
No idea.
It's at least a couple of years this time. This would be my second kidney transplant, by the way.
So you got to slow down, man. You're burning through them.
Right.
I'm collecting.
I didn't know that they didn't last forever.
Apparently they don't. It just depends. You know, the last I had a kidney transplant in the year 1999, which came from a deceased person. And there was a different story because basically at that point I got a phone call. And they're saying, if you can be here within 1 hour, we can put this in you.
At the morgue?
Wow.
And this was
you got the call from the morgue?
At this point, this was UCLA.
Oh, okay.
This is back then. I went into our
boss's
office.
Wait, hold on a sec, Scott. How does this work? Do they call the next five people on the kidney donor list and say whichever guy gets here first gets the kidney?
Race?
It sounds like
the amazing kidney race.
It is all complex. It's all tied in with the UNOS organization. They don't tell you where you – they never tell you where you are on the list. They never tell you what, the person in front – they just don't tell you anything.
Well, and I imagine that a lot of times with someone who's been in an accident, they may not actually at that moment be a donor, and they're trying to get the family to do it, and then the viability of the organ is starting to go down.
Right.
And so maybe it is like we've got an hour to do this.
And in this case, it was, 12, 13 years ago in 1999, mine came from Bakersfield.
No kidding.
So it was, and they don't tell you anything.
Did the kidney have dirt on it?
Yeah.
Pardon me?
Did the kidney have dirt on it?
Yeah.
Corn.
Right. So Scott had kidney problems.
It had corn on it?
Scott had kidney problems for much of his adult life. And you're right, Kevin. It's not something that he talked about. He's a pretty stoic, pretty private person.
So he works out of this building, and I had no idea.
So he got that kidney back in 99, and when you get a cadaver kidney, it lasts, what, Scott, about 10 years. So you're
for
kind
me,
of past,
10 years,
past
yeah.
the expiration
right,
date
right,
on that, right?
Right, exactly.
And what have you been doing for a kidney recently, then?
Is it dialysis?
I have been on a thing at home called peritoneal dialysis where you basically have a machine in the house. 9 o'clock, before I go to sleep, I hook it up.
Uh-huh.
It goes through about...
Propofol?
Yeah. I've had a lot of that, by the way, in the last few years. It goes through about 20 liters of fluid. And it basically cleans you out.
Flushes
it. Yeah, basically cleans you out. And next morning, you're ready to go for another 24 hours.
So basically, it does the job of your non-working kidney.
Exactly. Wow. And I never have to go to the bathroom.
Wow! That's almost worth it.
I want a road trip with you, cowboy. Yeah. So you can go to kevinandbean.com, by the way, if you want to see more about this. We've got a bunch of links and a bunch more information that we'll have time to give on the radio here. But we did put up a new post. So, Scott, your second kidney then, the new kidney that you got from the cadaver, so that failed. You've been on dialysis. And when I spoke with you earlier this year about it, you said, you know, I can get a kidney from a living or dead person, but it's just a question of finding one.
Exactly.
And that's when the light bulb went off over my head, because I'm sitting here thinking, well, don't I have two? And I asked you about it. I was like, well, could I give you one? And you said, well, it's a process that you can start. And you hooked me up with Cedars-Sinai, and that's when I started going through the process. And, man, has it been educational learning so much about how all this stuff works.
How long did it take you guys to figure that you would be a match?
As a couple, I mean, is that, she means.
Yeah. Yeah, talk about that, because this was something that was new to me about what you need.
A long time. I think, when did I see you? April, and this we started talking about this being.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, when we started talking about it, you said to me that you and your wife told me how generous you wanted to be, I was taken back. But I knew that the possibility of it happening, I didn't want to get over anxious, because yeah. there are so many hurdles. And the first of them is match of blood, which, by the way, Bean's blood and my blood don't match.
Okay, so strike one.
It's another whole story.
Okay.
Yeah. And then they have to – they look at the antibodies. And I mean, the fortunate thing is that I am dealing with Cedars-Sinai, one of only four hospitals in the country that can make my blood neutral and turn my type O blood into something compatible to his type A blood.
Really?
So,
yeah, in the whole country, there's only four hospitals and Lance Armstrong's house. It's the only place that this kind of work can be done.
So they started evaluating both Bean and myself, and they sent Bean for a number of tests, and I had a number of tests. And it was a bizarre experience, because only Bean actually knows this, but I had a treadmill test, which I have every year. And when I got the as part of this whole thing, when the doctor comes back to me and says, I got your treadmill, but it's not your test. I mean, what are you talking about? He goes, it's very different. And they go through more tests. Turns out, and he says to me, do you know had a heart attack over this past year?
What?
And I said, what?
Wait, you did have one?
I had a heart attack. He said, you had a silent heart attack in the last year. You don't know it. But you had a silent heart attack.
What's a silent heart attack?
It's something that I didn't know about.
That's ridiculous. You should get some kind of warning.
You know, and then I went into angioplasty, and they fixed all that up, and they've done this and that to make it so I can actually be...
You're a medical miracle.
You know, well...
I think you're a medical mess, and I wonder if I'm giving a good kidney to a guy who's going to die anyway. Because it sounds like you got it strikes against you, Mason.
I will die, but hopefully a lot later than I was than the plan was.
So when Bean called you and said he was thinking about it, you said, "What have you done with Bean? Put him on the phone, right?"
I was like, "Huh?" But I was shocked, and so shocked that you can't even. It's hard to, and I've told Bean this before, and I've been through this for months now, so much less emotional than I've been that time. But I tried to express to him, and of course his wife, because you don't do this alone. This is a family question, right. And it deals, you know, you all of a sudden now you have less, less organs than you did. I have one extra. He has, you know, he has one less.
I think she's looking to, you know. Awesome.
Yeah. Should buy some more insurance?
You'd be fine with her.
Hey, I'm just glad to put an organ in anyone at this point, to be honest. It's been slow. If I could... No, look, let me say this seriously. If you're just joining us here on the Kevin and Bean Show, our friend Scott Mason is in studio right now. He's had lifelong problems with his kidneys. He doesn't have any that work right now, and I'm donating a kidney to him, and that's going to be happening on November the 13th, and that's what we're talking about here. So I will be off a little bit in the next couple of weeks. Hopefully no more than that.
You know what he's going to be off for? This is a deal breaker for me.
Right.
Bean's going to be off for Miss Double December, the whole thing.
Oh, I hope to make it back. I hope to make it back for at least for the pageant.
At
I
that
hope.
Point, I go, Scott, sorry, friend.
Yeah. Good luck.
But let me say, let me say this before we have to take a break and then come back more on this topic. And that is, you guys have made fun of me for a long time for not being emotional, for not having an emotional side, right?
You I mean, do not. Yes. That's accurate. You do not have a heart. It's a good thing he doesn't need a heart because right. he'd have to go somewhere else.
Because I have to agree that I am more analytical than I am emotional. As I often say, I am a robot, not a unicorn. And it wasn't a big like emotional decision for me to offer my kidney up to Scott. It really was just – it was a math problem for me. It was you have zero – and I have two. Well, why don't I just give you one? And that just made sense to me. It wasn't like a difficult decision.
Now you don't need a kidney? You don't need one of them?
Here's what I learned. And again, I've gone through quite a bit of education through Cedars-Sinai leading up to the surgery coming up here in a couple of weeks. When you have two kidneys, you're operating at 100% ideally. Mm-hmm. You would think that you give up one kidney and now you're down to 50%, but the human body is a miracle. That's not what happens. The remaining kidney steps up and you get up to about 80%.
Wow.
So it shouldn't affect me that much. My life should go on after the surgery and after a few weeks of recovery. I think next year my life is going to be pretty much the way it is now.
Are you going to have to cut out the marathons?
but for Scott, he literally is going to wake up the day after the surgery, and for the first time in a long time, his blood is not going to be trying to kill him and poison his body every day. I think you're going to have a remarkable difference in the quality of your life for the next few years, we hope. Right, Scott?
I had really 10, 11 really good years where, I mean, really no one knew what was going on, yeah. And no one knew I had that surgery unless you had worked here back then. And it's a game changer, and the thing is, there are so many people who don't realize how many people are on the waiting lists, and they told me
how many people are.
They told me this past time here in 2010 when they said, "Listen, you're gonna need to go for another transplant." They said, "Well, you have type O blood. You have the most common type blood, the hardest really to get a transplant from." So they said, your wait's going to be 6 to 10 years.
Holy cow.
If you're going to wait for a cadaver. So I started asking my family and my mother and my family, my parents are a little too old. My brother, because he took blood pressure medicine once in his life, excluded.
Really?
Oh, is that right?
All my other friends.
Wow.
Excluded.
Wow.
I mean, if you step backwards, you know you're excluded. They're so picky unless you have absolutely perfect health, which Bean oddly does. Because I guess he does nothing else.
Right.
But yeah.
How hilarious is that I'm the guy with the perfect health, by the way, the guy who's never exercised a day in his life. But the truth is, I don't smoke. I don't drink.
What
I don't
do
eat
you
drugs.
Do?
Thank you, Kevin. I don't eat red meat. I mean, I had a lot of things going in my favor that I think primed me to be in the right place at the right time for this. But Scott, you wouldn't have survived. You couldn't have survived on dialysis waiting for 6 years.
I don't know how much longer. I could have gone another few years.
That
probably,
was my
but
question.
Who knows?
How long does someone?
It all depends on me. It depends on how strong I am. I've always hold up enough strength to come to work every day, and I always knew I want to be in here at 6 o'clock. If I leave at 3:30, 4 o'clock, then I get home and I'm on my back, I'm out, but yeah. I've always pulled up enough energy to work. And,
can I
give myself shots at home and this, that. It's,
can
it's,
I just talk about you deal. And your work ethic?
Scott doesn't. He doesn't do anything.
No, I'm not kidding. He hasn't done a thing since 2004. Come on.
He has an office. No one sees him. Nobody knows what he does.
But nobody's here. I see his car.
Yeah.
Plugged in.
I think somebody else drives it.
Yeah, I pay someone to do that. Yeah.
All right. Someone flipped the light on in the office. We all think he's here.
We have to take a break. I know that there are more questions and there's more we want to share. Again, you can read all about this at krock.com or kevinabean.com. Our guest in studio is Scott Mason. We'll continue right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Love that. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 26 minutes after 7 o'clock.
We are hooking you up with our tickets to the Breakfast with the Mumford & Sons. It's coming up very soon here at the world-famous K-Rock, and it's Kevin and Bean and you and Mumford. And you're going to help us ask
the sons.
And suds, too. You're going to help us ask the questions and listen to the band play live in a tiny little venue like we do. Plus, we'll give you some tickets to go see them at the Hollywood Bowl, too. If you want to try to earn those tickets, you can call right now at 1-800-520-1067. We'll play a game with that coming up in about 10 minutes.
We were talking about a very unlikely story. If you've listened to our show, if you've listened to Bean and I, if you know anything about Bean, you know anything about me, this is weird. But Bean is donating a kidney, and it's not a joke. That's for reals.
Yeah.
That's happening.
Scott Mason, I know that you need a kidney. I know that you've been sick and you didn't have any other options. But seriously, it's me. Doesn't that kind of creep you out a little bit?
What does a kidney do?
It filters your blood. Obviously, it filters the urine out of your blood, and it filters the bad stuff out of your blood, and it helps you make red blood cells. I mean, one of the side effects I've had recently over the last few years is my red blood count's been down so low I can't walk up a flight of stairs. I'm going from 2 to 3 in the elevator because I can't.
Wow.
And people are looking at you taking the elevator up. I go, well, you know.
Leave me alone.
Because
it's like being completely anemic. It's like, and
it is,
nothing you
it,
can
it
do.
Is being completely anemic because your red blood count goes way down. And I'm taking this Procrit like the athletes don't take. You know, I'm taking a shot every day and helping myself get to the point where I can function. And you know, and I can't function. I'm just at that very edge where when I'm done functioning, I'm horizontal. You know,
right.
I go from vertical horizontal.
Now, Beat's a guy who would not give up his seat on a plane for a pregnant woman. Remember that? That's the same guy.
Well, he was a bitch.
Yeah. But here's the difference. I think is that empathy is not one of Bean's tools.
However, this
is a black and white decision where you go, friend's going to die. I have two.
Yeah.
Done.
That's right. Scott, why weren't you asking around for somebody else if you knew you needed a kidney?
Always,
what was your backup plan?
My backup plan was to wait and to get sicker and, you know, and hope better medicine came along. Because it's hard. I ask my family, basically. It's hard to ask somebody for something like that. It's very difficult because what do they say to you? No, I don't think.
But you're in the same position you were in before you asked if they say no, though. You haven't lost anything.
You're putting, I don't know.
That's a big question to ask someone.
You're putting somebody in a terrible position
at
that point. It was very hard for me to ask, so unless it was, you know, like my direct family. And they all really tried to go to bat for me, and it didn't work out. I mean, I had solutions where I can go to, you know, Indonesia or India or
say,
you know, one of those kind of places. But
well, they'll kill someone for you.
Who knows? Or you can buy one, you know. But who knows what you come back, you know, with.
But you get to wake up in a bathtub full of ice, though. That's a thrill that you never get over. Look, like Kevin said, to me it was kind of a no-brainer. I didn't even have to give it much thought. I would give a kidney to almost any of you guys. Obviously not Beer Mug, but
he just wasted
almost anyone else. We're almost out of time here, but I do want to say this. Maybe there's not a lot of living kidney donors. Maybe in most people's minds it's something that they're afraid of for whatever reason. I'm hoping that my surgery will be so easy and I'll be back to work so soon that people will realize that it's not that big a deal to be a donor, and it's a huge difference for the receiver. But at a minimum, if nothing else comes out of this besides Scott feeling better, at a minimum, I just want to make sure that everybody who listens to the Kevin and Bean Show is at least registered to be a donor after their death.
Yes.
That seems like the minimum that you can do. I don't know why.
That's on your license, your driver's license.
You can do that. You can go through the California, you know, Department of Motor Vehicles, Motor Vehicle Administration, whatever they call it, and you can make that notation on your driver's license. But let your friends and family know. Put it in a will if you have one. At a minimum, let people know that when you die, harvest away. I've got, you know, you've got eyes, you've got lungs, you've got a liver, you've got kidneys, you've got a heart, you've got a lot of things that people can use. And it drives me insane to think that there are people out there. How many? Thousands? Tens of thousands? I don't know, Scott, who are on waiting lists for organs all over this country, while at the same time, sometimes a mile away, they're burying perfectly usable organs in the ground. So please, at a minimum, do that for us, if you would.
Consider it. Is there a website, or did you put it in your post? Or
yeah, there is a website that you can get all the information. There's one called DonateLifeCalifornia.org that is the best, I think, the clearinghouse in the state of California for everything that you need to know about organ donation, whether living or when you die. And I think there's a link in the post at KevinandBean.com if you want to go check that out. So before we say goodbye to Scott, so here's what's going on. So I'll be off for a day next week because I got some pre-surgery testing and whatnot that we have to do. And then the surgery is going to be on November the 13th. And then I'm hoping to be back to work the Monday after after Thanksgiving. That's the goal anyway. And hopefully I'll be well enough to travel the week after that for the Miss Double December pageant. If not, those ladies are going to be very sad to miss a chance to hang out with me.
They sure are. That'll break their hearts.
And Scott, what's your road to recovery like after the surgery? Assuming all goes well, what happens with you next?
Well, they say I should wake up feeling pretty good, but I'm going to be out a bit more than you. I'm going to be sliced up a little bit more, so I can't actually go back to work until I can drive, is what they tell me.
Yeah. But are you going to take on some of Bean's characteristics? Are you going to love 7-Eleven and go to the post office?
I already do that.
Yeah. Are you going to become Beans?
Start
being a dick to people?
Scott starts listening to Christmas music year-round.
Right, Christmas year-round.
Gets the Asperger's.
Right.
I love the Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald.
Well, there you go. There we go.
It is a perfect match.
That was a good choice. Scott, I'll see you at the hospital, man. Thanks a lot for coming in.
Thank you.
That is fun, by the way. They are the musical guest on Saturday Night Live this weekend. Saturday night, of course. Louis C.K. is going to be the host of the show. Looking forward to that. How about Breakfast with Mumford & Sons? It's your way into the VIP breakfast with Kevin and Bean and Mumford & Sons and sold-out tickets to see them at the Hollywood Bowl. Omar's on vacation, so we don't have a fancy intro, but this game is called Famous Sons. Famous Sons. And we've got contestants on the phone. How's this one go, Kevin?
Well, we're going to be asking a question.
Relatively easy.
You have to come up with the name of the person. It's always going to be a name, and the name will always include son in some point of the name.
So these are celebrities. In other words, the answer would be something like Luke Wilson, for instance, because there's son in the name. I don't think it was on there.
Oh.
I was hoping not
to screw
it.
Yes, that's correct.
All right, so 1-800-520-1067. We'll start with Antonio. He is on line one, and if you get it right, you are in the drawing. Someone wins their way into the breakfast with Mumford & Sons.
Hey, Antonio.
Good morning, guys. Good morning, guys. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning.
You ready for your famous son?
I hope so.
This fat celebrity gained 6,000 pounds when pregnant and then supposedly went on Weight Watchers and made her commercial, eventually losing absolutely no weight at all. Who are we talking about?
Fat celebrity, 6,000 pounds.
Weight Watchers commercial.
Don't be
son in the name.
Don't be thrown by son, meaning male, but son is in the name.
I thought that was the easiest time.
Jessica Simpson. Son. See, Jessica Simpson.
Simpson. Yeah.
Son.
All right. Antonio is hating himself right now.
I was afraid these were too easy.
Contestant number two, they might be too easy.
Okay.
Antonio just might be dumb. David is up next. He's playing for Mumford & Sons tickets. Hi, David.
Hey, Dave.
Yep. Here's your question.
I'm nervous. I'm already going to lose. Watch.
No.
All right.
No.
I love that confidence. This MMA champion claims to use the advice of Master Steven Seagal in his fights to retain his belt as the middleweight champion of the world in the UFC.
Anderson Silva.
Anderson Silva is correct.
How easy that was.
Go. All right. You're in the drawing.
Thank you, David. Anna is up next on line three. Anna, welcome to Famous Sons. Good luck.
Thank you.
This actor started on Dawson's Creek and has since joined the cast of Fringe, spending the first three seasons trying to get into the pants of the character Olivia.
The cast of Friends?
Fringe. F-R-I-N-G-E.
I don't know.
The cast of Fringe. Oh, my God.
Dawson's Creek.
Dawson's Creek.
Pacey, Mighty Duck,
Joshua Jackson. Wouldn't have got it with all that help. Thank you.
Okay.
Hold
on. All right, you haven't won yet, but you are in the drawing. Thanks for playing. Let's go to Sherry, line four. Hi, Sherry. Famous Sons. You ready to go?
Yes. All right.
Good luck.
This former adult superstar actress was probably very familiar with the sex move, the rusty trombone, the angry dragon, and the dog in the bathtub.
Jamie Jameson?
Close enough.
Jenna Jameson. Sure. Jamie's close enough.
Good job.
Jamie is her
That's
younger,
wrong.
Hotter sister.
No! Dave's saying it's wrong. It can't be right.
Really? Dave is stepping in? She got the Jameson.
Yeah.
That's the part that matters here, right?
Yes.
What the hell? Thank you for the call, Sherry. Let's try Ed. He's on line five. Hi, Ed. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do, indeed.
Welcome to 1991. This Scottish singer fronts a rock band from Madison, Wisconsin. The band's name is also a place homeless and disturbed people look for free food. What's her name?
Scottish singer.
Shirley Manson.
Yes.
There you go.
Good job. Woo.
Nicely done.
All right,
well
with
done,
you, Dave?
Yeah.
All right, let's go.
It was Jamie Manson, her younger sister. How about Destiny? Hi, Destiny. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What are you wearing?
I don't think that's part of the contest.
I'm sorry. Okay, here's your question. Famous Sons, good luck.
This older country singer is probably better known for smoking weed than for his music.
Oh, my God.
Older country singer.
smokes weed.
Older country singer that smokes weed?
A lot.
The most famous weed smoker in the world who's not Snoop Dogg.
Who's not Snoop Dogg.
He has a beard, I know that.
What's he has a beard? Right? Your friend's onto it.
Oh, God.
Come on, you can do it.
Oh, my God, it's on the tip of my tongue.
Son in the name. Willie Nell.
Oh,
I was going to give her a clue. Willie Nell.
Yeah, Willie Nell would have been a good clue. Willie it's Willie Nelson is here.
Sorry.
All right, one more. I think Alex will be our final contestant on Famous Sons, then the drawing.
Hey, Alex.
Hi, how are you guys?
Here's an audio clue from this now-canceled daytime TV show host.
All right. Daytime TV show host. Thank you. Yes, Anderson Cooper is correct. Thank you, Anderson. Anderson, she already got it. We're good.
Okay. All right, Alex, who is it?
Oh. Yeah, we already got that. David, Anna, Sherry, Ed, and Alex all in the running. Who's going to be at our breakfast with Mumford & Sons?
It's Sherry.
Yeah! Sherry. Congratulations, Sherry.
Oh, my God.
No,
yes.
She didn't get it.
She got it. You got it. Congratulations. You got Texas
got
for the breakfast and for the Hollywood Bowl.
Me?
Thanks for playing. I don't know what that noise was.
Drive with Garmin, the most trusted name in GPS. I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
I've asked Ralph. He rarely comes with me. It's a bummer. Ralph Garmin, not
he's
included.
That way.
Oh. It's the world famous K-Rock at 7:52.
Yeah, cool. Adam Carolla joins us in. I'm sorry, Ralph. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Okay.
Adam Carolla, coming up after the top of the hour. Ralph is here now with the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday.
I was going to say, people would screw up the spelling of my name before. Yeah. Now, thanks to the Garmin GPS, it's a nightmare.
Sweet. Yeah.
It's a nightmare.
And you got Wreck-It Ralph coming out this week, and that's going to screw you on the other side, so you can't win.
That's my sex tape. Wreck-It Ralph. People always say, you know, you guys make fun of Bean. Why do you think he's so weird? Why do you think he's so weird? And I have to reiterate, and Kevin brought this up, but really, it takes noticing. It's a remarkable thing Kevin Bean is doing by donating a kidney to our friend Scott.
Agreed.
Mason. Remarkable.
But.
And yet, he would not give up his seat for 45 minutes to an 8-month pregnant woman on a plane.
It's not explainable.
It's insane.
Yeah.
Is what it is. It's a walking dichotomy.
But it's impossible to talk about it without saying, wow, that's amazing what you're doing.
Absolutely. And yet, look, that's him. That's the same guy.
Yeah.
The same guy who wouldn't let a pregnant woman sit in his seat for 45 minutes on a plane.
The same guy that showed up at your wedding early.
The guy who didn't show up to my
wedding. Oh,
he didn't go to my wedding.
Didn't come to your wedding.
Well, that's give a guy an organ.
Right.
That's the same guy. And that's why he continually blows our mind. God bless him. He will be missed. Rest in peace.
Hey, I'm hoping to survive the surgery, you guys.
What?
The plan wasn't I'm gone in 2 weeks.
No, you don't get both.
Oh, I see.
No.
So you're happy about the surgery, but only if it means I'm off the show. Got it.
Yeah. That was best of all possible worlds, we thought. Yeah. All right, I've got tickets to give away to one of the best movies of the year. I've seen this film. I guarantee it. You will love it. Especially if you're a James Bond fan. It's a little movie called Skyfall.
Yay!
Daniel Craig returns in his third outing as 007. It is the best of the Craig Bonds by far, and maybe one of the best Bond films ever. It opens everywhere Friday, November the 9th. We're doing a special K-Rock advanced screening on the Sony Studios lot on November the 7th, so you will see it well before your friends, and you can mock them and rub it in. The best part. Here's the thing. I want to give it to real Bond fans. I don't want to slap these tickets in somebody's hands. So if you are a Bond fan, here's your trivia question. If you know the right answer, call 1-800-520-1067. And if you're one of the first five people with the correct answer, you will be going to see Skyfall early. Here is a trivia question. A lot of, I think, justifiable praise has been heaped upon Adele for her new Bond theme, Skyfall. It does a great job.
It's a good song.
With that song. And here's the great thing about Skyfall. It kind of goes back to those old school credit sequences with the dancing girls in the shadows with that music and everything. It's very Bond. It's a great way to open the film. The Bond themes have always been big deals. People love to be tapped to sing them. They usually end up being hits on the charts as well. One performer has sung more Bond songs than anybody else.
Interesting.
If you know the name of that singer and can tell me which themes she did.
Wow.
Which movies she did the themes for. I won't ask you that. The name of the song doesn't always equate to the name of the movie. But if you know the three movies she sang the theme for, then calling right now, 1-800-520-1066.
Was it Willow Smith?
It was Willow Smith, yes. Remember that Bond film? Bond whips his hair back and forth? that was a great one. While we're talking about movie franchises, Star Wars, of course, another one of the great movie franchises. We've been talking all week about Lucasfilm being purchased by Disney. They say that now that Disney owns the rights to Lucasfilm and its characters, and especially the Star Wars characters, a Star Wars theme park may be in the offing.
I could see that.
An entire theme park based on the universe that Star Wars takes place in. That would be pretty cool.
I don't know that there's a bigger movie series in the world other than, you know, Bond or something. But
I think Bond is number one.
Star Wars.
Star Wars certainly has its
so
place
huge
in pop culture. They did it with the Harry Potter series,
yeah,
of course, to wild success. That Potter land in Orlando is a big hit. They're going to do one here in Los Angeles. So I can certainly see a Star Wars theme park someplace in the country, in the world, where we'd all go to and be able to sit in an X-Wing or go in a TIE fighter or fight with Darth Vader or something. It'd be awesome. R2 agrees. While we're talking about Lucas, he made a lot of money off that deal. We were talking about this yesterday. We were debating how much ownership he had in Lucasfilm Limited that was purchased by Disney. 100% of that company.
Wow.
Dude. He was the sole owner of Lucasfilm Limited.
That's
that
crazy.
Means he gets $2 billion in cash right up front and then another 40 million shares of Disney stock to close out the deal. What will he do with that money? He's already a millionaire many times over. People are speculating, how rich is too rich? What are you going to do when you're that rich? Well, once again, George Lucas, you can say what you want about his movies, but he turns out to be a pretty cool dude. He has decided to set up an educational charity fund with the money.
So Bill Gates did, I think, too, right?
And we'll be helping kids get higher education through grants and scholarships and things like that. So
boring!
An educational charity fund using the totality of the cash payout that he got from...
Does he have kids?
Boring!
I do believe he does have
kids. His kids are like, hey, let's not make any rash decisions.
Easy, Pops. How about $1 billion?
Think about
$1 billion for the disadvantaged students, and another billion maybe just keep it in the Lucas vault for
us.
Think
about it for a while.
Yeah. So, he's a nice guy. Okay, we got it. R2-D2 makes noises.
More?
Well, I think we've established that.
All right.
Anne Hathaway is going to be one of the upcoming hosts for Saturday Night Live in November. They've announced who their host will be. Jeremy Renner will also be a host in November. That's pretty interesting.
I think this was the result of another Facebook campaign deal.
Really?
With getting Jeremy Renner that job, yeah.
There's a Facebook campaign to get Adam West to host a Saturday Night Live.
He'd be good. He's funny.
I think he'd be great.
I do, too.
There's been no traction on that whatsoever. A lot of people have signed up, but no traction as far as I know. I think it's have Adam West host SNL. I think that's the name of it.
Think of stupid Betty White doing it.
That's what I'm saying.
Adam do it.
She's certainly more relevant than Betty White was.
Agreed. Betty White did a great job hosting SNL, as would Adam West. It's not an either-or situation. They both are good choices.
Adam West is the mayor of Quahog.
That's true.
He's mother effing Batman.
That's very true as well.
Betty White is just a dusty old fart.
That's true.
That's what she is. And she was on. This is very exciting. Tyler Perry, back as Madea. Yes! Talk about your film franchises.
All right.
Whatever with Bond and Star Wars. Madea!
Didn't his last one not do very well?
It didn't.
But still
but
better
I think
than...
they're super cheap to make, and I think that they make money more than Alex Cross did.
Yeah.
Madea will be returning to celebrate the holidays with us next year, 2013. Madea's Christmas in the offing.
And then wacky things happen at that family.
And he's already got another movie called Tyler Perry's Singles Moms Club, which will open up in May of 2014. And, of course, he's got another film called Tyler Perry's The Marriage Counselor, starring Kim Kardashian. So his movies just keep getting better.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
He's the Toby Keith of filmmaking. We haven't answered my trivia question?
We do.
I think Christian on line 8 was the first one through. Christian, I need the name of the artist who sang more Bond themes than anybody else in the movies that person sang the themes for.
Well said.
Shirley Bassey.
Shirley Bassey is correct, sir. What films did she sing the lead the theme for?
Goldfinger.
Oh, a little bonus.
Nice.
All right, and?
Diamonds Are Forever and Moonraker.
That's right. Those three films feature Shirley Bassey singing the...
I love listeners with Wikipedia.
Wow.
Did you look it up, Christian, or did you know it?
No, I looked it up.
Sorry, either way. All right.
He's honest.
All right.
Congratulations, Christian. You're going to see Skyfall at our special K-Rock Advance screening. Hold on. We're going to give you all the details, okay?
Thanks, guys.
Congratulations also to Desiree, Courtney, Brian, and Charlie. They all had the correct answer. And
some of them probably aren't cheaters.
Boom, boom, boom. Diamonds are forever. I love that theme.
I liked it better when he sang it.
How no. dare you? Put them on your little finger. Unlike men, the diamonds linger. They are mere mortals who are not worth going to your grave for.
Zero for effort, zero for style, zero for star quality, and you know what? I'm being generous.
I don't need love, for what will love do me?
This is so terrible.
Diamonds never lie to me.
I'm giving you a zero for the day.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Penn Badgley from Gossip Girl is 26 years old. Jenny McCarthy turns 40. Not bad for a 40-year-old. Just as long as she's not talking.
Shouldn't talk.
Toni Collette is also 40. Anthony Kiedis of Red Hot Chili Peppers turns 50. Lyle Lovett and his large band, 55 years old. And Larry Flint, hustler, publisher, and a hero to the depraved everywhere. He is 70 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
This is the way all guests should come to the show.
Yeah.
Every single guest that comes to the Kevin and Bean Show should bring alcohol.
Alcohol, absolutely,
I think
yeah.
That should be a rule from now on.
In a red Solo cup?
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, the great Adam Carolla has joined us in
the
studio.
Yeah, get it on.
And I'm making a prediction here. I'm talking on my ass. I don't even know if this is true or not, but I suspect that one day the love line will be forgotten, the man show will be forgotten, the stand-up will be forgotten, the books, the podcast, all of that. What you'll be remembered for is the inventor of Mangria. That's going to be the lasting legacy of the world, is your alcoholic beverage.
Well, you know, look what happened with Sammy Hagar. It's like, what? He did what? He was in Van who? Van Wilder? I don't know that dude. The Green Rocker? I don't know that dude. He came up with some tequila, didn't he? He's
there
a tequila guy.
He's the Cabo Wabo guy. Absolutely, yeah.
That's right.
And you are the Mangria guy. Now, I know we have spoken to you a couple of times by phone where you have in passing reference said, yeah, my Mangria is out there available. But take us back to the humble beginnings of this new product.
Well, there I was in my kitchen, in my bathrobe on a Friday night about 8:30, and I did not want to get back into my dungarees and head down the hill to buy red wine. Okay. Yet I only had a splash at the bottom of the bottle. And, you know, it seems so desperate when you're already in your bathrobe to get into your sweatpants and head down to the liquor store on a Friday night. So,
First of all, you know how to live it up on a Friday night.
Yeah, I know. Okay. Party. And so I took a little, but I had to catch a buzz because, you know, it was a Friday night. So I took a little vodka and I dumped it in with my red wine and it tasted like ass. So
I could have predicted
that. I should have known that one. Right. And then I took a little orange juice and I mixed it in and I put some ice in there and I put a little lemon in there and I started swirling around. And the next thing you know, pow, from the lab. The monster had come off the slab, and it was a little something called Mangria. And I announced to everyone I'd invented Mangria.
Right.
It was it tasted good. It was like sangria, but problem with sangria is you take wine and you knock it down a notch.
Right.
This is wine, and we add some octane.
Okay, so it's a higher alcoholic content.
21% alcohol, to be exact.
What's beer like? 7, 8?
No, it's like 5.
Oh, it's
and a 5.
Half. Okay.
Well,
wow.
it can go like light beers like 5 and, I don't know, Grolsch or something's like 6. But it doesn't 5 to 6 is beer. This is 21.
21.
Baby.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Now, most people, Ace Man, they would say, oh, I've just made myself a beverage that I enjoy. I'll continue to make that in the comfort of my own kitchen from time to time. You, as a big thinker and a guy who realizes that all your ideas are worth exporting, you said, hey, let's turn it into a product and start selling this.
Well, Bean, let me ask you a hypothetical. What if in 1991, a man by the name of George Foreman said, well, I enjoy my own grilled cheese, but there's no way anyone else could partake in this. Well, where would we be?
The world would be poorer for that decision.
That's
I agree.
Point.
That's right.
Yes.
So I took it to a winemaker in Sonoma, and they literally have these boutique winemakers where they'll make you your own Pinot Noir, whatever it is for your company, and you put your own label on it. And we just started mixing and matching, and I was telling him the recipe, and he was working out like different samples, and we agreed on one, and I said, go to work. We got the label worked out. We got all the stuff figured out, and it's been shipping, and we sold like 10,000 bottles.
What?
It's
unbelievable.
Insane. Yeah.
Are you an alcohol magnet now, or did you consider yourself a giant in the world of booze?
I shall be soon. Look out, skinny bitch. There's a drunken dude, he's nipping at your high heels.
This is tastier than skinny bitch. I've had that stuff.
You have?
It's terrible.
Yes.
This is pretty good.
It's good.
Yeah.
We're drinking it now, Bean.
Yes, we are.
So now...
the show is going to be a disaster, Bean.
Mm. When you sit down on Sunday nights for Boardwalk Empire, you have a little more empathy for Nucky now. You look at him and you go, yeah, I know where that dude's coming from. I got my own problems with distribution.
Listen, right? I don't watch that Jersey Shore crap, lightweight. I know what you're talking about with Nucky.
Boardwalk Empire, right.
I don't watch those stupid reality shows. You understand?
It's not that
well-crafted, scripted, one-hour programming. You understand, okay, man? What am I, 14?
I apologize.
Maybe this is just a Mangria talking, but I don't need that.
Who is the target audience for Mangria? Is it a product for men and women, young and old, black or white, or do you have people that have a real preference?
Well, let's not weave the blacks in, Bean. Come on. No, the brothers love it. The sisters love it. And I honestly can say guys like it because it's got the high octane to it, but gals like it because of the flavor. I'll tell you the greatest endorsement of this. I got Cousin Sal.
Right.
Cousin Sal is boozing because of this.
You know,
he doesn't drink.
Right.
He's like, he wants a knee high. You know, meanwhile, he's addicted to gambling and everything else, but he does not drink. I've been pouring this stuff for him on a football Sunday.
Good. So you've turned him into not only a gambler, but a drunk.
A drunk as well, and he enjoys it. And Tammy, what do you think?
I think it's really tasty.
See, there you go.
This is really good. Mine's gone.
Do you get any instant buzz?
A couple.
It's got a big kick,
yes,
and we haven't really eaten anything yet.
Mm.
Oh, this is going to be fun in about 30 minutes. Yeah.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So the Mangria, which is available, by the way, through AdamCarolla.com. You can order it, and they just ship it right out to your home or something, right? It's just a mail-order deal. It's not in the stores or anything, right, Ace?
Yep. It goes right to your house.
It's got red wine, grape vodka, and smooth, sweet flavors and aromas of plum, cherry, blackberry, orange, and citrus. Great for any occasion, from appetizers to backyard barbecues to midnight cocktails.
Yeah.
You're not reading.
Not any occasion. Now, let's stay away from, wakes and funerals and stuff like that, because it'll turn quickly into, that son of a bitch owed me money. F-M.
Adam, I'll just give you the ultimate compliment, is I hate wine. Hate.
Yes.
This is great.
I love it. I knew you'd love it.
Look at that. Wow.
That's right.
AdamCarolla.com is where you're going to buy your Mangria. Adam is also going to be on stage Tuesday night, November 13th at the Ice House in Pasadena, on the 15th at the Brea Improv, and on the 16th, the City National Grill of Anaheim, with special guest Dennis Miller.
Empty.
Available at AdamCarolla.com.
Empty.
It's all right.
How about a refill for my friend? We'll be right back with the Ace Man after this on K-Roll. Dear Kevin and Bean, please tell Mr. Carolla I am stocking up on the Mangria for Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's. I love it. I've been sharing it with my friends while listening to the Adam Carolla Show. It is refreshing. Here's the slug line for you from this listener, Kyle. Adam, I think you'll like this. It's got a little anger, but with style.
I love that.
You should put that on the bottle.
Sure.
Well, it's like when your pimp backhands you, but you know you deserved it. You actually feel like it was a corrective measure.
That's
what I mean?
We can all relate to.
It wasn't punitive. That was corrective.
The Mangria, of course, is available now through AdamCarolla.com, as well as all of his stand-up dates. We're going to do the Week in Rage in a few minutes here. But, Kevin, you had something you wanted to take. You had a bone to pick with Ace,
yes,
and then I've got a question for him as well in this segment.
Mine goes back to Adam Carolla, who did More Stories on his podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So he was on with Jay Moore on a podcast that you listened to.
Yes, okay. And Jay Moore said, the question was, what's the difference between TV and radio people?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
I wrote it down. Adam Carolla said, TV people are evil, but smart. Radio people, I think he said all radio. I'm pretty sure he said all radio.
Go ahead.
Are evil, but stupid.
Yeah! So not nice and stupid, but evil and stupid.
Both are evil.
Oh, all
TV right. TV smart, radio stupid.
To be fair to me, I said evil and stupid.
Right.
I, of course, was talking about the management.
Because you didn't make that distinction.
Not the warriors behind the microphone. Not the heroes behind the microphone. Not Joe Sixpack or Joe One Pack of Mangria behind the microphone. I'm talking about the man.
I see. You didn't make that clear. I was just
curious.
When
I say the man, I mean no one in this building, you know, even if
I
they,
gotcha.
You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
But I know where Kevin's coming from in his concerns here, because we get the impression from a lot of our guests, like Rogan is a perfect example, is he's all high and mighty up on podcast mountain. mountain, and he really does look down on us who are so stupid that we're in radio.
No,
I don't think he does legitimately, but...
Well, everyone who's out of radio who was in radio is jealous of anyone who has a job in radio. I mean, there's just not many jobs left in radio. Yeah.
That's
so
true.
It's jealousy. It's petty jealousy. I mean, not with me, with Rogan.
But Rogan really never was in radio.
Well, that's a good point.
And he doesn't really look down as much as you do.
I felt
the scorn coming
through. No, I'm talking...
Ace, it burned a little bit. It really did.
I'm talking about everyone who employs you. I'm not... Bean, really...
Never mind. It's all good.
Bean, I could turn you around. I could get you off of goats and onto booze in one evening if I just sat down with some mangria and some condoms.
Adam, set me up a bottle. It's in my fridge. I'm going to try it later. So you weren't thinking of your old buddies, Kevin and Bean, when you talked about how stupid radio people were.
Then. No. I thought our
pictures would be front and center.
No, I've said it a million times. Well, listen, when I say, you know, smart and evil, I'm not talking about Jimmy Kimmel, and I'm not talking about Jay Leno or Letterman or whoever else who the cast have lost. I'm talking about the man.
All right, the man.
Talking to the decision makers.
Okay.
All right. Now, I got a question for you as well. You do a very popular segment on the AdamCarolla.com podcast, What Can't Adam Complain About?
Mm-hmm.
And you've got that knack where you can find the black lining in any topic, no matter how great it seems to the rest of us, right?
Mm-hmm.
We announced on the show earlier today, it's news to our Kevin and Bean listeners, that I've decided to donate a kidney to a friend of ours. Got a very sick friend who's been on dialysis, and I'm giving him a kidney. I'm going in for surgery in a couple weeks, giving him a kidney.
Are we saying who he is?
Yeah,
Scott Mason.
You're working around Space and Mason there.
Yeah.
Space and Mason, right.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me the downside of that. Tell me how you can turn that into something other than a win-win for everybody.
I put my money on Adam.
Couple things. Mason deserves this because he's a guy who walks around with 9 cell phones and 3 pagers on his utility belt. And it's so close in proximity to one's kidney that obviously the radiation that was given off by the 9 electronic devices that he carried around for upwards of 4 decades obviously have taken their toll on the kidneys. So
the pagers don't even work anymore. He still carries them.
He carries them around just for ballast because it has to... Because he needs something on the right side. That's why he had the hip problems. He's really like a guy. Every time I see him, I'm like, when are you going to climb that telephone pole? He's like, no, this is how I dress normally.
So maybe he's got radiation poisoning. Maybe that's what's happening from all the cell phones.
I'm saying if a guy smoked for 50 years and you told him to knock it off, would you donate a lung? You know what I'm
Good
saying?
Good point.
He brought this on himself. He deserves this.
So
Bean
should leave him stranded?
Well, you know, listen, Bean's a guy who, you know, obviously when I was at his house and he said the kids were coming by and I thought, holy crap, this guy's procreated. And then 5 potbelly pigs walk through the door. I realize he has energy and he has energy to give to society, not in the form of his own loins and offspring, but in the form of a guy who's 55 with weird hair.
Wait a minute. Hardly 55. So you're saying I've been suckered by giving it to Mason. That's the problem here. That's the downside here.
I'm saying you keep that kidney like a poker player from the turn of the century, like an 1870s poker player keeps the derringer in their boot, right? You keep it in case the wheels come off the wagon. You keep it for after the divorce. You keep it when you have to sell something on the black market in Asia. You know what I mean?
Okay.
You've given away your get-out-of-jail-free card in that kidney. See, I'm keeping my kidney in case everything comes undone.
It's your retirement plan.
Yeah, a lot of guys have a 401k. I have a kidney. So now you have no kidney net. You have no golden kidney parachute.
That's true.
You're right. I was feeling pretty good about my decision until now. But by the way, your kidney is not going to be worth a damn after 40 years of mangria either.
Right. From your mouth to God's ears.
Mine's no good right now. I'll tell you that.
Ooh.
Adam Carolla is here. We'll take a break. We'll come back with This Week in Rage after this on K-Rock. Tuesday, November the 13th at the Ice House in Pasadena, Adam Carolla on stage doing his live podcast on the 15th at the Brea Improv and on Friday the 16th at the City National Grove of Anaheim with his good friend Dennis Miller. Tickets for all these upcoming shows are available at AdamCarolla.com. You get the podcast there, you buy the books there, and of course you get the mangria as well. The Ace Man is in studio. It's time for This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
Yeah, get it on. It's the Mangria talking. Oh, by the way, having a little Mangria tasting party. Oh. Barney's Beanery tomorrow night, Friday night.
Oh, no kidding. That's great.
Westwood, the city of Westwood, Barney's Beanery will be there at 8 o'clock. So come and enjoy. It's all free.
Could I just suggest, across the street at the IHOP.
Could I suggest that it's not going to be a tasting? You don't just taste.
You taste. Downing.
You taste first, and then you start just downing it.
Yeah, bring your ass funnel.
Yes.
All right, here we go. I keep one in the car, so I don't have to bring it. I keep playing safe. Starting at 3, working our way up to number 1, the Halloween This Week in Rage. First off, this guy, I've seen this guy on Thanksgiving. I've seen him on Christmas Day. I've seen him in the storm, behind the scenes in the storm in New York, and now I've seen him on Halloween, the jogger. The I'm better than you on this day you're going to consume Reese's Peanut Butter Cups dressed as Dee Snider.
Right.
I am going for a jog. And not only I had experienced this asswipe, he serpentined his way through me and the kids walking down the sidewalk. You know that thing
where
you're going?
Make sure and get your attention?
Yes. He is jogging while everyone is taken to the streets to get free candy. He is jogging on that night. I don't need these mobile shamers running through our society. Let's create some sort of velodrome or something where these asswipes can go on New Year's Eve and New Year's Day and Thanksgiving, right, and burn a few calories without shaming us.
I like
because
it.
I'm bloated and I've undone my pants and I'm ready to blow someone for a beer and I'm walking through these people's houses and here comes Mr. Top of the World looking down on creation with the dolphin shorts on. Don't need this guy. Let's have a designated area like we have for smokers. We go put them somewhere at the airport so we can watch them and shame them. Let's have some velodrome and you guys can all just run in a circle until you die.
I like it.
Joggers, holiday joggers. All right. Also, my mom used to give out kids' candy, by the way. My kids with the mini Snickers bars and the Reese's cups and all the. It's all so good. What happened to the days?
It is good.
Remember to get the raisins? You get the raisins in a box?
Right.
By the way, this people who do the, oh, it's nature's candy. We don't need nature's candy. Yeah. We got candy. Do you think we have nature's anything else? We don't need nature's heroin or nature's boobies. We got boobies, and heroin. We'll take that. When we run out of candy, then we'll turn to nature's candy.
But we'll be settling big time.
Oh, my God. My mom was a health food nut and used to give out raisins and walnuts in a shell.
Oh, no.
And then they would just become projectiles because people would get down to the end of our driveway and go, what the F? Are you Kai, old lady? And then they'd start pelting our house with raisins and walnuts that my mom gave away. She would give out 100 raisins and walnuts, and then we would collect them from our porch and shrub the following day.
And then give them away the next year?
Give them away. We just keep recycling them. Why does this walnut thing have paint on it? Don't worry about it, kid. Why is it the trim color? If you don't ask questions, just be grateful. So, that was it. Now everyone with the peanut butter cups and the little mini everything. And they're handing out bottles of water.
They were handing out bottles.
Yeah, oh, you got to stay hydrated. You got to hydrate. Oh, yeah.
That's not right.
And the next thing is I went down. Now, I had an excuse. I had some friends, and they were out of my area. But we went down, and we trick-or-treated with them. But that place clearly had more trick-or-treaters than it had kids.
Sure.
Meaning people were getting out of their zone.
Bust into them.
Yes. And my feeling is this. You need to stay in your own crappy neighborhood and experience your own crappy neighbors on Halloween. It is the one time a year where you get to know just how bad you and your people are. And you should be forced to live in your own filth and eat your own tainted popcorn balls because it would incentivize you to get your crap together. Because all you got to do is go to a couple of houses and have a guy answer the door with a house coat on and a boner and go, I don't know, I got a half a Schaefer Light. Your kid like light beer? To know how crappy your neighborhood. You trip over a sofa when you're walking across a dirt lawn. Don't come to the nice neighborhoods. There's no shame in that. You stay and circumnavigate your own piece of ass and maybe next year you put some sod down.
Yeah.
Thank
there you go.
Powerful.
There you go.
We had Mike Catherwood in here yesterday, Adam. He actually asked the kids at the door their zip codes, and if they're not local, no candy for you. That's how he handles it.
That's trick-or-treater suppression, man!
AdamCarolla.com for all the upcoming shows and the downloads and the book and the mangria, which is delicious. Thanks so much for bringing it by, Ace Man. Always great to see you, my friend. Thank you.
Thanks for coming in.
Ralph, you get yourself some mangria? Taste some of that?
Yeah, it's delicious.
Good stuff, right?
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah. Time for the Showbiz Beat here on a Thursday Kevin and Bean show. Ralph joins us. What's going on?
We really should have some sort of policy, though, where no guests come in and feed alcohol to Kevin while we're on the air.
A little buzz. He's handling it pretty well, though.
I'm working well.
Compared to what? We get him at a baseline of just barely managing to perform his duties. And then you want to add alcohol to that. Then you want to add 21% alcohol to that. No, put it down. Put it down. You don't need it now.
He's on his second bottle.
I had a few granola balls. That's why I talk this way.
Lion sack of goo. Skyfall, the new James Bond movie.
Yes.
It's made over $100 million already. It hasn't even opened in the States yet, but people are talking about the next two Daniel Craig films. He signed on for two more 007 pictures, and the first, Skyfall is so terrific that rumors are starting to circulate that it's actually the first of a three-part trilogy.
Really?
That the story will be given two sequels, and that these three next, this film and the next two will play as a trilogy of James Bond movies. Stop saying that, people. It's just not true.
No.
In fact, John Logan, the screenwriter who wrote this one, has been hired for the next two pictures, but Daniel Craig said, I don't know where that rumor's coming from. It's the first I've heard about it. We can only do them one at a time. They take about 6 months to shoot. You can't write one movie thinking about the next. So it's not as if this is a storyline that will be spread out over three films. The new one will have a brand new story, and I think when you see Skyfall, you will see that's probably the most likely answer because...
He dies?
Because I can't say.
Oh.
Spoiler alerts.
He dies.
Charlie Sheen is now going to play James Bond. No, I'm kidding. Has a sitcom, Anger Management, that's doing well enough in the ratings that FX had to follow through on their deal with Charlie when he signed on to do the sitcom. He made a deal that said if he reached a certain level in the ratings, they had to renew the show. Now, whereas most shows would get renewed for a season or two, Charlie's deal had him set up for the next 90 episodes. So they have guaranteed him 90 episodes worth of work.
That is nuts.
It's never happened, right?
No, not to my knowledge. This is the most insane deal ever.
Boom.
Which means Charlie's already going to get the syndication money because they'll have enough to syndicate, and he has enough work for the next 2 or 3 years now. So he's even richer than he was before.
I think it's just straight out bitching.
It's great that he keeps getting such deserved success.
Failing upwards.
You guys don't think he's talented? I do.
I don't.
I think he's 90.
He's just serviceable.
Oh, I think he's pretty talented.
I do. Compared to
Ashton Kutcher.
I think he and Kutcher are right on the same level. Yeah. I mean, I've never said, wow, what a comic talent he is.
Yeah.
Look at the way he performs that scene. Love it, it's crap. Take any of the actors from Modern Family or one of those kind of shows and say, okay, yeah, Charlie Sheen is a talented comic actor.
Yeah.
Nah.
He's except for Eric Sonstreet.
He's a lucky feller. Eric, how dare you? And now that Disney owns Lucasfilm, Star Wars fans are very excited about the long-hoped-for but never-realized Star Wars theme park that has been rumored. Disney apparently giving it a serious consideration to build an entire theme park solely based on the characters and creations of the Star Wars Empire.
Sounds like that would be successful.
We have confirmation, by the way, that the next Star Wars film will be a standalone film not connected to any of the previous characters we've seen. So they are starting off in a new direction with Star Wars. And Lucas, once again, proves himself to be a good guy. Not give somebody a kidney good, but he's taken the money that he made from the Disney deal, which amounts to $2 billion in cash, and then $400 million shares of Disney stock. He's taken that money. He decided he's got enough personal wealth. He really doesn't need that. So he's taking all of that money and making a charitable foundation out of it to further the education of disadvantaged youths. So good for him.
it's nice to see that money going someplace where it can help. He's always been that way, though. He's been a very big philanthropist and has always been involved in charities and helping other people and stuff. One of the good guys. Can't write a script, but good guy. Today's celebrity birthdays. Penn Badgley from Gossip Girl, 26 years old today. Jenny McCarthy celebrates her 40th birthday. Toni Collette from Little Miss Sunshine and United States of Tara. And do you ever see Muriel's Wedding?
No.
Oh, one of my favorite films. Little independent Australian comedy that gave us not only Toni Collette, but Rachel Griffiths is also with the co-star in that great film. She's 40 years old. Anthony Kiedis of the Red Hot Chili Peppers turns 50. Lyle Lovett is 55 years old today. And Hustler publisher, pornographer extraordinaire, Larry Flint, celebrates his 70th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Hang on. Wait. It's my favorite part. Well, 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:38.
How much mangria have you had?
A lot.
I've had a lot of mangria.
Turn on my microphone.
Damn it.
Let's stay on the air longer and see how it goes.
I didn't think it sounded like it. I thought I was working alcoholic.
Did you?
No. High functioning.
Yeah.
I think Kevin is high functioning.
I had a great time with Adam Carolla stopping by today with his delicious mangria. We do recommend it. You can buy it through adamcarolla.com. But it was nice. I think you're right. I think it's a good trend for guests to bring in alcohol with them.
Nope.
Ralph is here. Time for the showbiz beat now here on a Thursday, Kevin and Beach.
How about Dudley Moore on the other side of the console? We don't need more alcohol for him.
How dare you?
You're all flushed. You're like,
I am a little bit. I'm a little buzzed.
Wobbly.
Give him the breathalyzer.
Doesn't take much of that mangria.
That doesn't. Doesn't take much at all.
Were you drunk?
When you drink voluminous amounts.
All right, I spelled that word wrong, but for me, when I'm buzzed, that's pretty good spelling.
Yeah, it is.
Back to you.
How awkward is it when you run into your ex when you're out in public?
Awkward.
It'd be awkward, right?
Sure.
Depends on how you're looking that day.
Is it worse when there's thousands of people watching?
Yes.
And then millions of people on top of that watching on television?
Ooh.
That's what happened with Katy Perry and her ex-husband Russell Brand hitting up the Lakers game Tuesday. They apparently did the best to avoid eye contact and luckily sat on opposite sides of the court. But it did not go unnoticed to the crowd there and to the TV cameras who made a point of saying, Hey, look who's over here.
Oh, God.
What if they're going to fight? What's the matter?
I wonder if they're going to fight.
What are you laughing at over there?
Don't worry about it. Don't just keep going.
Hold on. What's going on, Beer Mug?
Kevin put this sour candy in his mouth, and he as quick as he put it in, he took it out like he just put a piece of crap in his mouth, and he tried to get it into the trash can and totally missed.
I don't think any of this is necessary. I think your entertainment report is more important.
Were you drunk?
It's the worst. Snooki and her baby daddy can't stand each other. That's what friends are telling Radar Online.
What a surprise.
The new parents are apparently staying together simply to stay in the public eye since they both have, and I quote, a desperation to stay famous.
Wow.
Here's the best part. They plan to go through with their wedding just in order to try to cash some sort of paycheck that would come from publishing the wedding photos in the magazine.
Really?
That's what friends are saying.
And then they'll split?
Then they'll split afterwards. Geez. Once they make the money, they'll split the money made from the wedding and the surrounding publicity. I think MTV wants to do a TV special.
I should kick your ass for wasting my time.
And then after that's all over, they'll split and go their separate ways a little bit richer. That's romantic.
That is nice.
That's sweet. The Muppets are back in business. They're making another Muppet movie.
That last one with Jason Segel, is that who it did?
Yeah.
Who it was?
Yeah, Jason Segel.
Huge hit, right?
Huge hit, yeah. And really well done. Really good Muppet movie. Daily Variety says they are making another Muppet movie, this time starring the Muppets and Christoph Waltz.
What?
Who joined the cast.
Huh.
One of the scariest dudes working. Yeah, it's a strange combination. But I like it. He's a good actor, and he's a funny actor, too. A lot of people forget how funny
he
can be. Yeah, I think he's real funny. Don't you think he's funny?
I don't know. He just strikes me as scary.
Even as scary as he was in Inglourious Basterds, there was a real good sense of humor about that. He was funny in Green Hornet. He was one of the highlights
Green
Hornet. For me, anyway.
The highlight.
He was the highlight. For fans of the band Nirvana, you may want to get out your checkbooks. Interesting piece of memorabilia you'll be able to own if you pony up enough cash.
up on the auction block at Christie's in London on November the 29th will be the cheap bass guitar that Chris Novoselic smashed in the Smells Like Teen Spirit video. You may remember that scene where he throws it up in the air, hits him in the head, and then he smashes it on the ground. Well, an extra on the video picked up all the pieces and kept them all these years. Now they're going up on the auction block.
You're picking your nose and slamming your head into the microphone.
How loaded are you?
Why don't you just keep going?
How can I when you're digging for gold in your sinuses and you smash your giant head,
your
voluminous head into the microphone?
Just move on.
Kevin is in that place that drug people get sometimes where they no longer realize that other people can see them.
Right.
But if Rob wouldn't bring it up, no one would know.
You know, I think this would have given it away. Even people who are listening.
You're drunk.
Could we call a taxi for Mr. Ryder, please?
Fine.
Call an ambulance.
Listen to me. You can tell. I'm fine. Sharp.
Were you drunk?
Sharp as ever. Pieces of the bass are expected to fetch, at the minimum, $40,000 on the auction block. So you have to be a real Nirvana fan to pick that up.
That's crazy.
And if you're going through a Billy Joe Armstrong withdrawal, since Billy is where Kevin should be, in a rehabilitation facility dealing with his alcohol issues, Green Day's new music video for the band's Twilight Breaking Dawn Part 2 song is currently up on MTV.com. You can check it out. It's a ballad called The Forgotten. It's Billy Joe crooning about lost dreams. Now, not only is it the band's new video, but it also has clips. Has clips from Breaking Dawn Part 2 featuring Bella as a newly fanged vampire. So you get to have all that Kristen Stewart love as well.
That's great.
So there's a lot going for it.
Smell like alcohol.
I'm just going to cut my losses now and get the hell out of this.
Okay. I am perfectly fine.
Yeah, you're the opposite of that. Today's celebrity birthdays, Penn Badgley, Gossip Girl fame, 26 years old today. Jenny McCarthy is 40 years old. Kevin tweeted a picture of her.
Yeah.
Look at her voluminous glasses.
It was voluminous. I got close.
Toni Collette, one of my favorite actresses from Little Miss Sunshine. I didn't care for that United States of Terror too much, but
I didn't either.
She's a good actress. Either. 40 years old. Anthony Kiedis of Red Hot Chili Peppers turns 50 years old. Lyle Lovett celebrates 55. And Larry Flint, hustler, magnet, publisher, pornographer. You love him, you hate him. You can't go jogging with him. He's 70 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Kevin has a problem with alcohol. Problem with alcohol. Problem with alcohol.
I'm fine.
Kevin has a problem with alcohol, and when he's drunk, he'll let you do him in the... What did you do? Hi, Callie. Fire beer mug.
Fire beer mug. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, Cousin Sal takes a look at the NFL picks for the weekend. Ralph's got the movie beat because it is Friday. You dated a friend's ex and lost the friendship. We were going to do that today. We ran out of time. And we have your tickets for breakfast with Mumford & Sons.
All right.
Don't I sound perfectly fine, Ralph?
Never sounded better. I know the music's still running in the background. I wasn't even going to bring that up. We didn't bother to take out the showbiz music doing his wrap-up.